Reading from the fifth canto, chapter 1, text 11. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Nibodha Tatedam Ritam Bhavini Mashuyutum Devam Arhashi Aprameyam Vayam Bhavaste Tata Esha Maharshri Vahama Sarve Vivashayasya Dishtham. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Nibodha Tatedam Ritam Bravini Mashuyutam Devam Arhati Aprameyam Vayam Bhavaste Tata Esha Maharshri Vahama Sarve Vivashayasya Dishtam. Bhagavan Vacha Nibodha Tatedam Ritam Bravimi Mashuitam Devam Arhati Aprameyam Mayam Dadate Tatame Tadeshti. Mataji's. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Person, Lord Brahma. Nibodha, kindly hear with attention. Tata, my dear son. Idam, this. Ritam, true. Bhavini, I am speaking. Ma, not. Ashuyutam, to be jealous of. Devam, the personality of Godhead. Arhasi, you oath. Aprameyam, who is beyond our experimental knowledge. Vayam, we. Bhavaha, Lord Shiva. Te, your. Tata, father. Esha, this. Maharshi, Narada. Vahama, carry out. Sarve, all. Vivasha, unable to deviate. Yasya, of whom. Dishtham, the order. Translation. Lord Brahma, the Supreme Person within this universe, said, my dear Priyavrata, kindly hear attentively what I shall say to you. Do not be jealous of the Supreme Lord, who is beyond our experimental measurements. All of us, including Lord Shiva, your father, and the great sage Maharshi Narada, must carry out the order of the Supreme. We cannot deviate from his order, purport. Of the 12 great authorities in devotional service, 4, Lord Brahma himself, his son Narada, Swayambhuva Manu and Lord Shiva were present before Priyavrata. They were accompanied by many other authoritative sages. Brahma first wanted to impress upon Priyavrata that although these great personalities are all authorities, they cannot possibly disobey the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described in this verse as Deva, which means always glorious. The power, glory and potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be diminished. In the Ishopanishad, the Lord is described as Apapa Vidaha, which indicates that He is never affected by anything materially considered sinful. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as being so powerful that nothing we might consider abominable can affect Him. An example sometimes given to explain the position of the Supreme Lord is that of the sun, which evaporates urine from the earth but is never affected by contamination. The Supreme Lord can never be accused of doing anything wrong. When Lord Brahma went to induce Priyavrata to accept the responsibility for ruling this universe, he did not go whimsically. He was following the dictations of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, Brahma and other genuine authorities never do anything without His permission. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. The Lord dictated Vedic knowledge to Brahma through His heart. The more the living entity is purified by the devotional service, the more he comes in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yene mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they come to me. Lord Brahma, therefore, had not come to Priyavrata by his own whims. Rather, it is understood that he had been ordered to persuade Priyavrata by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities cannot be understood by material senses and who is therefore described herein as Aprameya. Thus, Lord Brahma first advised Priyavrata to hear his words with attention and without envy. Why one is induced to perform certain acts despite his desire to do something else is indicated herein. One cannot disobey the orders of the Supreme Lord even if one is as powerful as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Manu or the great sage Narada. All these authorities are certainly very powerful, but they do not have the power to disobey the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since Lord Brahma had come to Priyavrata in accordance with the orders of the Supreme Lord, he first wanted to dispel any suspicion that he might be acting as Priyavrata's enemy. Lord Brahma was following the orders of the Supreme Lord, and therefore it would be worthwhile for Priyavrata to accept Lord Brahma's order as the Lord desired. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Rishthi Mithi Bhakti Vedanta Swamita Namni Namasya Saratvita Devi Gaudavani Prajanita Shishita. So here we see the pastime of Priyavrata. Lord Brahma actually, through the various manus, he has to push the various manus to take charge of the affairs of the universe, to increase the progeny. And the manus in turn have many kings below them. And these kings actually execute the order of Lord Brahma. So in this way, the affairs of the universe are managed. We see that all this while, King Uttanapada and his descendants were actually running the universe. And after King Uttanapada is the younger brother of King Priyavrata. Since Priyavrata took to the path of renunciation, the charge was handed over to Uttanapada. Uttanapada is the father of Dhruva Maharaj. And all this while, the descendants of King Uttanapada were managing the affairs of the universe till the Prachetas. And a situation was developed wherein after the Prachetas, there was nobody to run the universe. There was no suitable king to take charge of the affairs. And that created a very emergency situation wherein Lord Brahma created an emergency situation, and Swayambhu Manu first went running to this mountain, Gandhamadana hill, where Priyavrata was there. And Lord Brahma, Swayambhu Manu, his father, Priyavrata's father, tries to convince him to take up charge of the affairs of the universe. And what happens is that Priyavrata actually refuses to do that, being very concerned about his spiritual life, being very concerned that, you know, he will fall into the trap of material entanglement. And he refuses to take up the order of Swayambhu Manu, his own father. So that creates a very precarious situation, a situation of concern. And then we have Lord Brahma coming down from Brahmaloka to meet Priyavrata in this mountain, Gandhamadana hill. And when Lord Brahma comes, he does not come alone. He came with his Atreya Rishi, Vasishtha Muni, Marichi. And whenever Lord Brahma descends, he always descends. He is always accompanied by the personified Vedas. So Lord Brahma came here, and his intention is to persuade Priyavrata to take up to this post of managing the universe. And he was going to instruct Priyavrata on how he has to follow the Vedic injunctions and take up this post. So this place is very significant, Gandhamadana hill, where presently Narada Rishi, Swayambhu Manu and Priyavrata are there. Lord Brahma comes and they all stand up with great respect to receive Lord Brahma. A similar situation actually was there when Lord Brahma once summoned all his mind-born sons. Lord Brahma had many sons, born from his mind, many mind-born sons. And he summoned them one day and asked them to increase the population and take charge of the affairs of the universe. So the it says that how Lord Narada, actually Narad Muni, he challenged Lord Brahma and said that how come you are summoning all of us and asking us to enter into Grihastha Ashram, asking us to increase the progeny, when actually you have not summoned our elder brothers, that is the four Kumaras. Narad Muni told Lord Brahma that you should first ask them to get married first, and then you should ask us. They are in the queue first. He went on to further state how, went on to further question Lord Brahma, how come you are allowing them, the four Kumaras, to taste the austerity, to taste the nectar of austerity, while asking us to drink the poison of material existence? How come? Narad Muni goes on to explain how this material life is nothing but a fire wherein flies and moths, they think that it is very pleasing, some light is there, and they come towards the fire and they die. So Narad Muni goes on to narrate this to Lord Brahma and says that how you are asking
us to taste this? How come you are asking us to give up this devotion to the Lord? To take up something which is very mundane and temporary? How come you have not called the four Kumaras? So when all this happens, Lord Brahma actually becomes very unhappy. He is very displeased with Narada's statements. And he curses Narada to... He says that you have earned my displeasure and therefore I curse you that you will be bereft of all intelligence and you will be born as a Gandharva who will have the association of many beautiful girls. You will be the husband of 50 very beautiful charming ladies. And you will engross yourself in sensual pleasure. You will become an expert in how to gratify women, and you will be telling people how to live your life in this art of gratifying your senses. You will be an expert in Veena. You will sing very nicely, and you will be born as Upabarhana. Upabarhana is one of the Gandharvas. So, Lord Brahma curses Narada like this. Narada in turn curses Lord Brahma and tells him, you'll never be worshipped for many years by anybody. And just after this, Narada actually leaves his body and takes up the body of Upabarhana. Upabarhana is the son of a Gandharva king. This king actually did an austerity, he did penance for many hundreds of years, and he pleased Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, he was so pleased with this king of the Gandharvas that he asked, please tell me what boon do you want? And this king of Gandharvas, he said, I want a son. And Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosha. Very easily pleased. He immediately granted him a son who was none other than Upabarhana. Both the king of Gandharva and his wife were very elated and very happy in receiving a son. And as cursed by Lord Brahma, Upabarhana lived the life of great pleasure and luxury in the company of young girls, enjoying in the forest of the Gandharvas. And this Upabarhana was actually born in this mountain where Priyavrata is right now situated, Gandhamadana hill. He was born in this Gandhamadana hill. So Upabarhana then, you know, in his course of his life and as per the curse of Lord Brahma, he goes on to enjoy the company of all these beautiful women in the uninhabited forest of Gandharva Loka for many many years. He then goes on to marry another king of the Gandharvas, Chitrarata. He marries his daughter Malavati, and he has, as cursed by Brahma, he has 50 wives. So he goes on enjoying life like this. And one day he goes to Brahmaloka for some festivity, and there he sees an apsara called Ramba, and she is dancing very seductively, and Upabarhana becomes so lusty seeing the dance of this apsara called Ramba. He becomes captivated by her beauty. He runs behind her, and in his passion and in his infatuation for this apsara, he actually discharges semen, and he becomes unconscious and he lies down on the floor. And here it was a big festivity going on, you know, Lord Brahma and many other associates. And Upabharmana is lying unconscious. You know, so Lord Brahma becomes so disgusted. He becomes so upset with such a situation that he actually comes to Jai Shri Shri Radharaj Bihari Ji Lalita Vishaka, Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So Lord Brahma actually curses Upabharmana. He curses him that you will be born as a son of a maid servant. You will be born as a son of a maid servant. So that is how Narada, in his previous life, was actually the son of a maid servant, and in his previous life was Upabharmana, this Gandharva. So Lord Brahma curses him that he becomes a son of a maid servant. And Upabharmana then leaves his body, and later on his wife Malavati is very distressed, and you know there is a pastime how she approaches all the, she threatens that she will curse the demigods, and the demigods then in turn go to Lord Vishnu, and you know Upabharmana is then, you know, made to born again. Lord Vishnu comes, and you know finally Lord Brahma throws water from his kamandalu, and you know Upabharmana is born again. And then he continues to enjoy for many, many years, and then eventually leaves his body and takes birth as the son of the maid servant, wherein he gets the association of, you know, great devotees of the Lord, and then becomes Narad Muni. So the Gandhamadana mountain here is very significant, and we see how Priyavrata actually is very concerned about his spiritual life. We see in future how Lord Brahma convinces him to take up this post, and Priyavrata does not lose his devotional service, he does not lose his Krishna consciousness, because that is how Krishna consciousness is. It is very perfect and eternal. This process of Krishna consciousness is perfect and eternal. Nobody can lose it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, nobody can hurt you except you yourself. When somebody accuses you, blasphemes you, you have a choice whether to get hurt or not. So in the same way, no matter what our external situation is, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter in what circumstances we are presently in, only we can lose our Krishna consciousness. No extraneous situation can make you lose your Krishna consciousness. You cannot blame it on somebody. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who takes shelter of him, Kaunteya Pratijanati Name Bhakta Prayashati, one who takes shelter of his lotus feet, he is protected. So Priyavrata takes to this path of, actually Maharaj Parikshit also is asking, how come somebody who is tasted the nectar of renunciation, how come he gets himself entangled in family life? And then Sukadev Goswami is explaining the Pravritti Marg and the Nivritti Marg, how the Nivritti Marg is the path of negating sense gratification, and the Pravritti Marg is the path wherein the person is sanctioned some enjoyment, but still he is on the path home back to Godhead. That is the Pravritti Marg. So devotional service makes you engage in the service of the Lord while at the same time dealing with the worldly affairs. So devotee externally may be handling a lot of worldly affairs in rendering his service, but internally he is just satisfied by giving satisfaction to the Lord. He is just satisfied by giving satisfaction to the Lord. And this is very important. You see, Priyavrata is very concerned, what will happen to my spiritual life at that time? Just imagine how we should be today concerned. We are bombarded by the media today. There are so many advertisements luring everybody promising a better future, promising something very good. The whole newspaper, the whole media is filled with advertisements. Even the news, a person was telling me how even the news is actually paid advertisement. You know, in the newspaper if you open, there will be advertisements and below it will be written advertisement. You know, very small. But actually the news also is an advertisement, because today if you pay the journalist, you can put whatever news you want. So there is tremendous, you know, we see in the newspapers when there a product is being released, they make an article out of it. How this product is so good. The whole media is directed towards showing how the so-called great personalities of this world are enjoying life. People, by reading that, they want to become like this. Oh, I want to become like this actor. Oh, I want to become like this businessman. How? But just by reading this in the newspaper. They make that as their goal of life. Because they write so many nice things about their life. Whereas, we really don't know what the factual situation is. The fact is something else. Krishna says in the Gita, Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. This world is temporary and it is full of miseries. And if Krishna has to say that, it is true. Recently, one very big businessman met one of our senior sannyasi disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and he told him that what you see in the newspapers in page 3, you know, this fancy lifestyle, partying lifestyle, is actually not true. People are not happy there. And this is a person who is actually a very, very prominent person in the social circuit. He attends all these parties. He's very wealthy, very wealthy. And he said, he made an observation that, Swamiji, 80% of these people are either on drugs, their personal life is messed up because of divorce, or they are gay. They are all dissatisfied. They are heavily on drugs. And here we are, when we read the newspapers, people say, oh, you know, this person got this car, this person got this thing, this person got that thing. And the young generation, they are looking forward. Oh, they make that as their value systems in life. I want to be like them. But not knowing the reality. Priyavrata didn't have all the situation at that time. But still he was very concerned about his spiritual life. Imagine how much concern we should be with all this continuous bombardment. The newspapers, the internet, everything is talking about this great good lifestyle. In our devotional life, actually King, there's how it's, you know, in a place called, in southern Germany, there was one Roman king, King Henry the III. This king actually was spiritually inclined, and he told his priest, you know, those days they were installed by the, you know, just like we had the Rajarishis, those days they were installed by the priest, the Pope, you know, the Roman Pope. So he told the Pope that, I want to give up my throne and I want to come and join your church. So, this priest, his name was Prior Richard, he told him, no, my dear king, this spiritual life is not meant for you. So the king said, why? No, this is the life of, you have to be very obedient in this life. In spiritual life you have to be very obedient, and you are a king, you are used to dictating orders, how can you be obedient? You are used to that kind of a lifestyle. So, the king said, no, I am very serious. I will be obedient and I will follow whatever order you tell me. So, Prior Richard, his priest, he told him, then go to the place where you came from. Go back to the place where you came from. What is that place? The throne. Go back to your throne and start ruling the kingdom as per the directions of God. Start ruling the kingdom as per the direction of the Lord. So the king went back. He was ruling a place called Bavaria in southern Germany, and till today the mark is there on his throne, on the orders of the Lord, you know. So it's a very austere situation also to take up this kind of a management, and Priyavrata was very cautious. And here we are in Kali Yuga with all this bombardment. If we do not, even in our services, if we do not take time from our services, or if we do not take time from, we are always, you know, we may be, you know, in the morning program, and we may be in the various, you know, spiritual, but if we do not take time to introspect, if we do not take time to introspect and question ourselves, how did I perform during the day? Was I Krishna? Because our sadhana doesn't get over after the morning program. It does not get over after the morning program. It is there all through the day. When we are doing our service, it's not that we have to forget the Lord. We have to interact with the Lord. We have to pray to Him to give us intelligence to do the service. When we are dealing with, because we are dealing with matter, we are dealing with a lot of people, we are dealing with karmi sometimes. So we have to be very cautious. We have to pray to the Lord internally. And when we introspect, we actually start understanding where we stand in our spiritual life. Did I conduct myself properly today? Was I Krishna conscious enough in handling this particular situation? Maybe I could have handled the situation more better. Oh, in this particular situation, I completely forgot that I was a servant of Krishna. I just bossed over. Or in this particular situation, I became upset. So in this way, a devotee actually starts, he has to introspect. And because we have a value system given by Srila Prabhupada, we have the instructions given by Prabhupada, and that is our value system. For the materialist, what is the value system? What he reads in the newspapers, what he hears about these so-called great personalities. That is his value system. That is where he wants to be. But for devotees, our value system is here. In reading Srila Prabhupada's books, reading Srila Prabhupada's books and chanting attentively, so we come to know what our value systems are. Devotees generally, it is said that there is a saying that it's not how many hours you put in. Please listen to this. It is not how many hours you put in, but it is how much you put into an hour. That is important. It is not how many hours you put in, but how much you put in an hour. That is important. So, we have to start finding pleasure. We have to start finding satisfaction in just serving the Lord in whatever capacity we can. If we are not satisfied in simply chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and engaging in some service, please understand, we can never be satisfied no matter what we get in this material world. And we can see that. A famous Hollywood actor said that it is a bad karma. Imagine, he used the word bad karma. He said it's a bad karma to have name, fame and riches. Now here is somebody who is very beautiful, who is good looking, who has got a lot of money. All what a normal materialist would want to become. And what is he saying? It is such a suffering here. He is in a particular level, and all the materialists today are aspiring, wow, I want to become like him. So much fame. Wherever he goes, there are 100 people signing, wanting to sign autograph, money, beautiful woman, media flashes. and that person is saying that it's a bad karma. Actually, one very senior sannyasi is actually preaching to, he didn't want his name to be mentioned, so I don't want, he is preaching to a very famous Hollywood actor. And this Maharaj told me recently that this Hollywood actor is actually a comedian, and he slowly taken up to Krishna consciousness. And he asked, he told Maharaj that, I want you to come to a program which is called as Alcohol Anonymous. Now this is a program where they teach people, you know, to give up alcoholism. So with great reluctancy, Maharaj actually went to this Alcohol Anonymous program, where there are some, professional people who teach people how they should give up alcoholism. And there in that program, Maharaj actually saw the who's who of Hollywood. All the top actors, actresses, they are there in this program, you know, trying to give up alcoholism. And this Hollywood actor told Maharaj that there's so much of suffering, so much of suffering. But do we know the reality? No, we are sitting at this end and we are reading newspaper that this actor got $25 million for this movie. So a materialistic, wow, I want to become like that. You know, just a few hours of movie and he gets $25 million. But he doesn't know the reality, how much they are suffering. And Priyavrata was afraid of the illusionary energy at that time, and you can imagine how much more powerful the illusionary energy is today. So we have to learn to find pleasure in the very simple activities of Krishna consciousness and not get unnecessarily worried, not become so much anxious and become so much, you know, so much in anxiety. Devotees also generally come in a lot of anxiety sometime. And with this worry takes over the devotee's mind, a devotee should, actually Prabhupada has given us, how do we contract this bombardment of the media? How do we contract this influence of the material nature? What is the weapon that we have got? Srila Prabhupada has given us that. Srila Prabhupada's books. Giriraj Maharaj recently in his lecture told that you can associate with Srila Prabhupada by reading his books. It's a very profound statement. You can associate with Srila Prabhupada by reading his books. And when you, the more you read and the more you associate, the more you become stronger. It is said here that with the association of devotee, we become pure. So by associating with Srila Prabhupada, we become more and more purified. We become more and more stronger internally by introspection, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And that helps us to contract the effect of this media bombardment. That helps us to contract the effect of this illusory energy. It's very, very powerful. So when devotees start worrying, we should know that it's time for me to change my perception. It's time for me to place myself in a different platform. Lift myself up from this worrying platform, lift myself up from this mode of worrying, and put myself into a Krishna conscious mode. And how do I do that? By chanting attentively, by associating with the holy name, reading, and then you come to a different platform. Recently there was a survey done. You see, these simple activities are very important in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, no matter what you do, you will be dissatisfied. A British newspaper did a survey. They actually sent out a questionnaire to the people. Who is the happiest person on earth? Who is the happiest person in this world? And they called for entries from people. So many thousands of people wrote various things. Some wrote such and such a business personality is the happiest person because that is what he perceived. But there were many people who wrote a totally different thing. And this newspaper, this English newspaper, gave first five prizes to the first five top entries according to what they feel was the best entry. And what were they? One person saying that, who is the happiest person in the world? A small child making a sand castle on the beach. Number two, a mother bathing her baby. Number three, an artist whistling after he has finished a painting. Number four, a doctor after having finished a successful operation where he saved somebody's life. You know, like that. I don't remember the fifth one. So, these are very simple activities. You know, how can somebody be happy with this? We can imagine. It doesn't involve wealth, it doesn't involve your position, but it gives somebody happiness. So here we are, if we do not find satisfaction in satisfying the Lord by our simple devotional service, no matter what happens in the movement, no matter what happens, what are the ups and downs, if we do not stick on to, you know, our sadhana and, you know, our simple devotional service, irrespective of what others think of, it's going to be difficult. We should come out of the platform of worrying and anxiety and be confident. Actually, worrying is nothing but a byproduct. Actually, when somebody worries, he's making a statement. What statement he's making? He's making a statement that he's showing his failure. He's showing his failure of his faith in the Lord, his trust in the Lord. He's not having faith, he's not having trust in the Lord, and that is why he's worrying. And that statement he's making, he's telling the world, I'm actually not having that faith in the Lord, and that's why I have to worry. And the Lord is also very smart. As you surrender, so I shall, you know, reciprocate. So Lord said, okay, you want to worry, so be it. You want to surrender to me, and I'll take care of your worries. Actually, there was a survey done, a very interesting survey, by an American scientist, and he surveyed more than 1,000 people, and he wanted to find out the percentage of worry in each person. He wanted to know what all things people worry about. So after interviewing, and you know, the government spends millions of dollars on all these surveys and, you know, experiments, you know, after doing all this survey, he found a very interesting thing. Each of these 1,000 people, or more than 1,000 people, they had a percentage breakup. What is the percentage breakup? 40% of the worry of a person, 40% of a worry of a person was about things which never really happened in his life. Actually, George Washington, the President of America, he had once told, all my life I worried for things which never really happened in my life. He made that profound statement. All my life I worried for things which never really happened in my life. Just imagine. So anyway, this survey actually, you know, it kind of corroborates that view of George Washington. So 40% of a person's worry was about things which never really happened in his life. He was worrying. This thing, that thing, you know, which never really happened in his life. 30% of the worry of each of these persons, 40% about things which never happened, 30% was about past decisions. 30% a person was worrying about past decisions which he has already taken. You know, either he wanted to become an engineer, he became an engineer, that's over. He didn't want to get married to this girl, he got married, it's over now. So, but he was still worried of all past decisions. He didn't want to go out for a picnic, he took out his car for a picnic and he went and banged the car, over. But still he was worried about past decisions which he cannot change. It has happened. So, 30% of a person's worry is about past decisions which he cannot change. 12% of the worry of a person was about disease. Oh, I may get this disease. Just by seeing somebody else having a disease, he also starts worrying, oh my, I may get this disease. You know? So 12, he's not having that, but 12% is about that worry. I may get this disease. And imagine, this is a survey done. It's not 10% of the worry was about their adult children. Now when I say adult means they are already grown up, they are free to take their decision, they are capable of taking care of themselves. You really cannot do anything about that. They are adult. You can imagine if you're a small child, you know, worrying about your small child. But adult, somebody who's already grown up, you cannot do anything about them. You know, they are capable of taking care of themselves. So 10% of the worry was about adult children. So if you add up 40, 30, 10 and 12%, it comes to 92%. So 92% of the worries of a person was about things which he really cannot control. He just cannot control. It's out of his control. What is the point in worrying about it? And the remaining 8% was, they found out that they were worrying about actual situations in life. Real things means somebody being jobless, you know, or presently having a disease, or, you know, factual things which actually kind of, you know, he was facing at the present moment. But 92% was worrying something which was not in his control. Again, what does this show? A lack of faith in the Lord, that he can take care of these things. So we can learn, you know, how Priyavrata, we should, you know, he was so serious of his spiritual life, so concerned. So we should also become very concerned about our spiritual life and, you know, not get swayed away by so many happenings, you know, in the material world or even within our organization, and just keep our focus, keep our consciousness intact in rendering our service, doing simple, you know, whatever devotional service given, and, you know, trying to perfect our life in this manner. And this is such a powerful process that it will, you know, bring us to the path of, you know, if take us to the, if we follow this instructions of Srila Prabhupada, we'll be very happily situated. The value systems which a devotee keeps should be should be based on Srila Prabhupada's books, should be based on spiritual instructions, not on what he sees and what he assumes, or what some other, even devotees sometimes get wrong understanding of what the value system should be. They think that in ISKCON you should climb the corporate ladder. You know, you should become something. No, that's not what we are here for. We are here for devotional service, no matter what it is. And even the simplest of service, we don't get pleasure in simply chanting Hare Krishna and reading Srila Prabhupada's book. If we don't start tasting the nectar in this activity, no matter what we get, we'll always be dissatisfied. And in turn, we are not even pleasing the Lord then. So, we see Priyavrata actually doesn't lose his devotional service, and he, you know, takes up, he follows the instructions of Lord Brahma and then eventually achieves perfection. So we'll stop here. Any questions? Comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for a nice lecture. One comment and one question.
Please.
Comment is that in some survey they found out who is the most happiest country. They found out Bangladesh people.
Good one.
The lowest per capita income is the lowest. The question is, the past time you narrated regarding Narad Muni, actually we heard that many times that Narad Muni sang a movie song and he got cursed. So your version is something else. Where
this
from?
Is from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Okay. It's a book which is eventually going to be published by VVT. So I think it is must be authentic.
Otherwise we generally hear
I don't know whether there were movie songs at that time, but
movie song means
sense
gratificatory song.
Yeah, okay.
Like that. Instead of that whole assembly was meant to glorify Lord Vishnu.
Okay.
So he sang some song glorifying something material, some beautiful woman and all that. So that's why he got cursed like that.
No, I think this is edited by the BBT editor, so this must be authentic what I narrated.
Also, where does this Manu live? Like, this Vaivasvata Manu now, present Manu, we don't like, where does he live actually? Where is their residence?
Well, I don't know about that. Quite. Here it says that, you know, at least Priyavrata was there in the, you know, Gandharva Loka, he was there in this Gandhamadana mountain. But where does Manu live? Yes. We can find out that when we go up, hopefully.
Hare Krishna. I'm not sure if I have heard rightly. Is it says anywhere in the translation that don't be jealous, Lord Brahma is he saying?
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, yeah. And why is that? Because Priyavrata is a devotee.
Because actually Priyavrata, he, you know, when sometimes when you don't get to, you know, when you are given an instruction which is not what you actually want, you know, which is not comforting to you and which is not what your mind tells you, you become envious of the other person, you know. Who is he to instruct? As long as he is giving nice instruction which is, you know, comfortable for me, fine. But the moment he gives an instruction which is little austere to follow or little not, you know, suitable to him, then, you know, you start becoming envious of the authority, you know. So, probably in that context, you know. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I have one comment. Once I went to one place in Orissa, that is Chowdhar. That place, that is ARC, means Aircraft Resource Center.
Okay.
So, there is tight security was there, but one of our relatives was working as a police officer there. So, I told I want to go inside and I want to distribute some books. So, because of that fellow, I entered the inside. So, I started, I told you can speak to some senior people, senior officers. So, I want to speak something about Bhagavad Gita, something. So, he called his senior officers. So, I will describe a little bit about the Bhagavad Gita. And to the top most senior officer, he told that in Orissa, suppose somebody is wearing this dhoti kurta and putting tilak, they will tell Baba. So they will ask Baba. So he told Baba, I want to speak to you. Means secret place, something I want to say. So I told, okay, no problem. So after that, after 15 minutes, so he called his room. So Kevin, very nice Kevin, so I will be there. He told that, you know, so he was a triple star officer, topmost officer. He told, because of government, I got the luxurious room, luxurious vehicle, wherever I was going, and one security is always with me, so wherever we go, no need to do something. Whatever I want, just I have to switch on one button, that is, yes, immediately one person will come. Everything I am getting, everything. But, you know, all you are watching this, 400 people, they are watching me just like God. It's all the low offices. But, you know, in my home, I am operating like this. This all the people are operating me. I am operating my wife, daughter, and sons. So, I am feeling just like a piece we are putting in the boiled oil. I am facing. Sometimes in midnight, and I was feeling so insecure. I made up my mind, so I'll go, I'll see some bank up or some river or something. In the midnight, so many times I'm trying, but I was unable to go. He requested me that you can give some this sometimes a lecture, say, here for 1 hour or something. I told him, I'm not a great devotee, I'm not a sadhu. No, please, I'm requesting you can do today. I told, today is not possible, it's possible you are talking. I'm having little bit knowledge. So tomorrow. So next day I went and they made the big arrangement. There was the entire community room where they are celebrating some marriage or something. So I saw all entire officers there sitting, only officers, constables were sitting silently. I was only alone. I saw there's police officers. I was feeling very pure. So I gave something, I told something. They were so happy, so happy. And I told you, because your light was always in secret position. You should chant Mahamantra and the Narsing Arthi. They started chanting and danced, everybody. So it was very nice. I feel very nice thing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your very enjoying class. One thing he said is that the simple things in Krishna consciousness, unless they don't give pleasure like chanting or hearing Bhagavatam, you will not get pleasure in others. But generally the mind's thing is like, in simple things are not very simply to be understood, and it's like becomes very difficult. So we feel that unless some, it's like substantial has to be there to, even in devotional service also. So how we like?
Yes, we have to make sure that we are fully engaged. You know, see, like I said, sadhana doesn't get over at 9:30, and if a devotee is not thoroughly engaged during the day, you know, if there's no pressure of service, you know, and devotee should become self-directed. Not that, you know, some authority should go and give pressure on him, then only he does service. He should be concerned that I should, you know, I cannot read and chant the whole day. So therefore, you know, I don't have the taste right now, but, you know, I should engage myself in, you know, burning my passion, you know, the various services that are there. He should be very concerned and he should be very bullish. He should be very focused in his service. He should engage that, you know, in his service. But, you know, if the other thing happens wherein he's only engaging in a service, you know, he's only taking the load and only engaging in a service, and he's not, you know, doing it in the right perspective. He may start off doing it in the right perspective, but gradually, you know, it gets, you know, dwindled, and, you know, he may lose his perspective. You know, he may lose his bearings and he may lose, you know, his focus. So, you know, it has to be, both has to be in proper proportion and balance, you know. So, Prabhupada didn't encourage somebody to just read and chant the whole day. And neither did he encourage somebody who was just doing service without, you know, chanting, you know. So there should be a proper balance. And when a proper balance is there, and you see there is today in this world to preach and to run the organization, we have to deal with so much matter and things. So that gives us enough austerity. If we are doing our service seriously, we get enough austerity, and we, you know, we actually, that is why it's called a sandwich program, the morning program and the evening program, you know, wherein, you know, so later, you know, when we start reading and we, you know, again come back to our, you know, we, during the day we get involved in so many activities, dealing with people, and, you know, and then, you know, after that when we read again, you know, make our perspective, or we may get disturbed with something that has happened in the service, and later on when we are actually reading the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's books, and, you know, we kind of refocus, realign ourselves, just like a vehicle, a car is there, you know. The wheel becomes, you know, sometimes it, you know, you need to go to the workshop and get it aligned. You know, there's an aligning process. Wheel alignment it is called as. Similarly, we need to keep ourselves aligned properly, you know. So, yes, there should be substantial service, no doubt about that. You know, at the same time, you know, we should start, you know, relishing this, you know, thing. Because all the time we have, if we're not, you know, getting that pleasure of simply sitting quietly and chanting and hearing the holy name, you know, all of us, we face so many issues and so many problems in our, you know, because, you know, that is how the material world is. It brings there's a lot of impediments in the path of devotional service. It brings us a lot of impediments. So there are enough impediments for us to start actually relishing, you know, the holy name, you know, in that sense, you know. There are enough troubles and enough, you know, this thing which we, you know, face in our life to actually start, you know, relishing, because that is the only solace. Otherwise, if you don't do that, then at a later stage, if the mind is not trained, then it becomes very difficult, you know. When we physically are not, like, just like Maharaj was telling yesterday, when we are physically not capable of doing something, if you have not developed a taste for this, then it becomes very difficult. Does it answer me? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.